Thank you, Mike and Carrie. Take your Bibles, please. Turn back to Isaiah 38, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 8 and then verses 16 and 17. The text is found in verse 17. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. Father, I pray that you will bless the preaching this morning, and we need you, God. We so desperately need you, and we thank you for this passage of Scripture that tells us about just a miraculous healing that took place with Hezekiah. We thank you for certainly all the times that you've healed us. We thank you for the main thing that you've done in our lives, and that is given us salvation. If there's anyone here who's not sure they're saved, Father, I pray that you'd save them today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I wanted to ask this question. How many of you have ever been healed? Anybody? Raise your hand if you've ever been healed. All right, then you're dead. Okay, everybody's been healed. I mean, you. Now let me ask you, how many of you have ever been healed? All right, some of you are still dead. All right, well, I'm concerned about that because the truth of the matter is, I wanted to ask the question, how many times in our life have we been healed? The truth is, all the time. You only die of one thing. Okay. anyway, boy, that did not go over well at all. But the fact is, every time, I mean, God has healed you of everything you ever had. I mean, you you're being healed, or you're going to be healed, or you're not, and you're going to be in heaven. And so praise the Lord for that. But till we get to heaven. Now, when we get to heaven, we'll never be sick again. Can you imagine what that's going to be like? And here we have an amazing story, and yet I think it happens all the time. I don't know that it's always recorded. I don't know that God always tells us, but it happens all the time. It happens many times. You get sick of something, and I guarantee there's folks all over this room, you've been sick of something that if God didn't heal you, you would have died from it. Every one of us. I don't know, the flu. People die of flu all the time. I just had the flu last year. In fact, I had it a couple times last year. And obviously God healed me from it. If he had not healed me from it, I would have died from it. Hello. But I'm just trying to get you to think about that. But Psalm 103, verse 3, it says, "Who healeth all thy diseases." And when he stops healing us of our diseases, well, obviously we go home to heaven. And Hezekiah here, we read this and we say, wow, you know, isn't that something? God gave him 15 more years. And I love it. In verse 1, the Bible says he was sick unto death. I mean, whatever he had, it was going to take his life. Isaiah, the Bible says, came to him and he said, "Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live." That's a message in and of itself. You know it? Because we are going to die. Everybody here is going to die unless the rapture takes place. You better get your house in order, amen? You better get your life in order. You better get things in order in your as far as your life here, because someday you're going to die. The Bible says, "Prepare to meet thy God." And that day could be any day. We don't know what day it's going to be. I guarantee in heaven, somewhere there's a calendar that has Doug Rogers will die on this day, or maybe has a time, like my calendar has a little time right there, and then has death of Doug, D-O-D, you know, and there it's going to be right there. It's that time. Now, I don't know when that is, and it's good that we don't know when that is. Could you imagine what we would do different? It could be today. For you, it could be today. It could be tomorrow. It could be next week. The fact is, we are going to die, and we better get our house in order, amen? Set thine house in order. But I'm not preaching about that. With Hezekiah, there was nothing a doctor could do. Hezekiah could have gone to Mayo Clinic. He could have gone to the University of Michigan hospital system. He could have gone anywhere. Could have gone to any kind of doctor. There was nothing that a doctor could do. There was no medicine that would help Hezekiah. He was going to die. Thou shalt die and not live. I submit to you folks that happens to you and I all the time. It's not written down in the scripture. It's not written down anywhere, but we've all had some kind of disease that if God doesn't heal us somehow through our body or whatever, God somehow, he makes it so that we live longer. But I'm not trying to diminish the miracle that took place here, because God obviously gave it to us. Verse 2, Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord. I mean, he was very serious. He knew this is it. Okay, it's over. I'm going to die. So he starts to pray. And he begs God to let him live. Oh, Lord, I beseech thee how I have walked before thee in truth with a perfect heart. I've done that which is good in thy sight. Hezekiah, the Bible says he wept sore. That means he sobbed. And he wept so hard that literally it made him sore. He wept and he sobbed because he was going to die and he wanted to live. And the Bible says that God healed him. God said in verse 5, I will add unto thy days 15 years. You ever wonder how many times God's added to your days? Amen. Now, I'm not talking about the semi that's barreling down the road that's about to hit you head on and your guardian angels work everything out and you turn instead of going left. You take a detour instead of running into that and you're mad at the detour. I'm not talking about those times. Amen. Happens all the time. I'm not talking about the tree that was supposed to fall on you last night, but the angels held it up so it didn't land on your head. They're coming to get you. I'm talking about how many times in your body God took away a disease. How many times in your, I'm talking about you had, it started out with a little sniffle, but it was headed toward disaster. I mean, it was headed toward real trouble. And God said, you know what, I'm going to let them go ahead and live. Maybe it started out with a cancerous tumor. And God said, you know, poof, get rid of that thing. And it was gone. Folks, if we don't believe that, then we're wasting our time today, honestly. But I'm not trying to diminish what happened with Hezekiah. I'm just trying to get to put you and I into this story that God has given you extra years, I'm sure, many, many times. I wonder how many times God's done that for me. I wonder. I know one time for sure, I know for sure, God spared my life under that modular when it fell. To this day, I honestly, that was years ago, we were moving a modular, and I can still see that time, and every time I do, it's one of those, you know, one of those life flashes before your eyes moments. 20 tons came down, and I have no idea how I got out from under it. To this day, nobody knows how we, three guys, how we got out from under it. One guy, the deacon, he was so skinny, he was between floor joists, that's how he lived. It's how he survived. I wasn't skinny, and oh my, but you know, you ever think about how many years God, extra years God's given you? Well, I want to talk to you this morning about Hezekiah's heavenly healing, because boy, you know God is so good to us. I'll tell you, you want to get mad at God, then you do it in spite of all the good He's done, because God is so wonderful. And Hezekiah gave a testimony after God healed him. And he says in verse 16, it says, O Lord, by these things men live, and in all these things is the spirit of my, or the life of my spirit, so wilt thou recover me and make me to live. You know, the fact that you're here today, you could agree with Hezekiah. God, you have recovered me and you have made me to live. I have life today. I'm talking about physical life. Check if you aren't, if you're not sure. Check and see if you're alive. Go ahead, check your pulse. All right, be stubborn. I'm not going to do what he says, no way. You know, check your pulse. Do that if you can stand it. Amen. You're alive. And God has recovered you. So Hezekiah's heavenly healing is like our heavenly healing. We are alive today. God has something for us. And here is just a little outline, I believe, and some things that I think God showed to Hezekiah. The fact that he's still alive. He's still walking on the earth. And God told him, you have 15 more years. God's telling you today, hey, you still have some time. Let me show you some things. Number one, here's what I think Hezekiah is saying. Number one, he said bitterness burdened him. Bitterness burdened him. Notice in verse 15, what shall I say? He hath both spoken unto me and himself hath done it. I shall go softly all my years in the bitterness of my soul. Bitterness burdened him. You know, bitter. God, he says in verse 15, God told me, God showed me, but God told me that I was going to die, but then God told me, I'm going to let you live. God told me that you have a disease that's going to take your life, but then God said, I'm going to let you live, and then God let him live. Can you imagine Hezekiah going to the doctor? Doctor said, well, I'm amazed you're still alive. Hezekiah said, God told me I'm going to live. Don't you love it when doctors have said, hey, you have this spot or you have this thing or you have something wrong and we've seen it on the scan, and then you go back after prayer and after begging God and you go back and the doctor says, y'all don't see it anymore. Don't you love that? Huh? That's an amazing thing. And Hezekiah, can you imagine all the people? I mean, Hezekiah has gone to the funeral director and he's made all the plans and he said, you know, here's what I want to have done and everything. And yet God said, hey, I'm going to give you 15 more years. I hope he got a good deal on the casket and everything. You know, it's anyway. Amen. By the way, folks, the Bible has already told us we're going to die. It's appointed unto man once to die. Amen. After that, the judgment. I mean, we're going to die unless the rapture takes place. That is the only thing that's going to stop us from dying, is a rapture to take place. That's what I'm praying for. Amen. But the truth of the matter is, we could have died years ago. Could have died at any time. There's many of us would have testimonies of different things. And yet, it was a bitter time for Hezekiah. It was a tough time. God said, I'm going to die. God said it's inevitable. There's no question. It was a bitter time. It was a hard time. It was something he was not planning on taking place. And certainly some of the hard times we have in our lives, we have no way of planning on those things taking place. I look out at widows in our church, and you didn't plan. You stood and you looked at his face when you gave your vows, and you didn't plan the day to come where you would have to have a funeral service for him, and what a tough thing. And two of those this week where it just breaks your heart. You don't plan on those things. It's a bitter time. I love what Hezekiah says. He says, I shall go softly all my years. I shall go softly. He's not going to forget how God humbled him when he said, Hezekiah, you're going to die. You know, it ought to be a humbling thing to you and I. And with all the secular humanism garbage out there of how great man is, when you recognize how frail you really are, when you and I realize how frail we really are, how our hearts can stop in a moment, how our bodies are deteriorating every day. I'm not trying to discourage how frail we really are. How at any time, last night my wife and I were sitting on the porch and that big gust of wind came and the tree right across from us. I heard it crack and I saw leaves come. And I said, get in the house quick. And we ran in the house. Well, ran is, we moved quickly. But one of the big branches off that tree broke off and fell. And I mean, in my thinking, I'm thinking that whole tree's coming down. And any time. We didn't plan that. We were cooking hamburgers and hot dogs for teenagers, you know. And you just don't know. And Hezekiah says, you know what? He says, I'm going to go softly because I'm humbled by this. Folks, understand the fear of the Lord. It's to know that your life is in his hands. It's not in your hands. It's not in your doctor's hands. I like my doctor. I am glad I have the doctor that I have. But my life isn't in his hands. You know, he says, take this, do this. And I try to do it. I try to do the things he says to do. But that doesn't guarantee that I'm going to live. What kind of prescription could a doctor give to keep a branch from falling on your head? What kind of prescription could a doctor give that'll keep a semi-truck from running you over? No. My life's in his hands. Hezekiah said, God controls my life. But bitterness burdened me. And there was a time that it was a tough time. It was a bitter time. But that bitter time, Hezekiah says, it changed my life. He said, for a while, behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. He said, for a while, he said, Wow, it was a bitter time. Can you imagine him telling people how he was dying and how he was going to die and God kept him alive? Folks, why don't you tell people how God keeps you alive? Why don't we talk about how God keeps us alive? Well, we just want to thank God for all the modern medicine. Okay, you know, but who gave modern medicine the information to be modern medicine? You know, when I'm in an emergency, I was in the emergency room recently with Daryl. Daryl White had a kidney stone. We were in there, and I prayed for him. And I always thank God for the doctors and nurses and that God let them learn what they learned. Because if they don't learn what they learned, they can't help us. It's because God let him learn it. Healed by God, Hezekiah said. And I was bitter, but I was healed by God. When's the last time you thank God you woke up this morning? You know, or every morning. God, thank you for, I woke up. Isn't that wonderful? I made it through the storm. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. That's what he's saying. Bitterness burdened me. It burdened me. Ever consider your trials, how they come and then they go? Come on, everybody in this room, you've had trials, you've had problems, you've had issues take place, and they came by, but they also went. It's like last night's storm. I mean, did we need rain or not? I think we needed rain. And the storm came by, and what did it leave behind? Well, there are branches on the ground and all that. Yeah, but there's rain. In other words, we needed it. I submit to you, sometimes we need the trial. God knows. I don't understand it. We need that bitterness in our life. We need that tough thing. I love the words. I've never preached a message on it. It came to pass. And in other words, it came with the purpose of passing. You know, have you ever thought it didn't come to stay? It's kind of like our diseases. Come on, you've all been healed of a disease. Everybody has at one time or another. It came to pass. Just like Hezekiah, it came to pass. Oh, this is such a bitter time in my life. But then God said, I'm going to give you 15 more years. Woohoo! It's amazing the change. I mean, it's amazing how his life changed when God said, I'm going to give you more time. Well, the fact that you woke up this morning, God says, I'm giving you more time. And sometimes we have a trial and it's a bitter time, but it came to pass. And because it came to pass, I got to look around what it left behind. Must be good because God let it in my life. Must be something good. I learned that a long time ago when I was a little kid. And I'd start having pain in the belly. And I mean, I didn't want to tell mom. You know why you don't ever tell your mom you have pain in the belly? Because she gets out the castor oil. Anytime, I'm telling you, you tell mom pain in the belly, next thing she has a stick of chewing gum. Remember Juicy Fruit? Do they still have Juicy Fruit? Oh, yeah. Yeah, we used to have that years ago. You'd think it's pretty old by now, huh? She'd have a stick of Juicy Fruit and her other hand was behind her back. I knew what that meant. It's castor oil time. I don't know of anything worse than castor oil, except worm medicine. The two of them, I think they were all made in hell. I'm serious about that. It's just bad. And mom would, you know, I'd say, what's behind your back? And I knew, and there it was. I don't know of any bottle that looks worse than the bottle of castor oil. How many of you ever had castor oil? There's nothing good about it, except your stomach does quit hurting. Of course, and there's a reason for that, because there's nothing in it. But you know, you learn that kind of stuff as you realize, okay, she's not giving me this because she hates me. She's giving me this because I need it. Amen. And it's hard to believe that too. Boy, I'd take that spoon of castor oil, and I mean, it was just so bad. You try holding your nose. That never has worked for me. I mean, honestly, because it's thick. Anything that will hang on to you, that little dangly thing in your throat, and just kind of grip it and stroke it going down, that's not good. You know, the gag reflex is just right there. And I mean, that stuff, it's like, oh, My, that is so bad. And then you pop in that juicy fruit gum, and it doesn't even help. But the fact of the matter is, I needed it. And you know, the bitterness that Hezekiah had, he needed it. And the bitterness in our lives, we need it. And the sickness, but you know, every sickness, I was thinking last year of that flu that I had in December, I needed that time. I needed that. But God did heal me of that. Praise the Lord. And everything that happens in our lives, it may be that bitterness burdened us, but praise God, when it's over with, what it ought to do is it ought to cause us to say, thank you so much, God. And then look around for what it left behind. There's something that we need. The truth of the matter is, we like things to be sweet. We don't like bitter, but we need bitter. Yeah, how many shots did we get when we were children? We needed it. Oh, you know, and the doctor, you know, nurses, bless their hearts. Liz, are you here somewhere? She's not, is she? That's good, because I'm going to talk about nurses. You know, they'll always say to you, it hurts me too. No, it doesn't. Then they say, just a little pinch. Little. Right. Well, you know what? We need it. I remember one time I knocked a shot out of a doctor's hand or a nurse's hand when I was a kid. And you say, I ended up getting the shot, and then another part of my body hurt too. See, we need the bitter. We don't like the bitter, but we need the bitter. You need the trial. You're in a trial right now. I promise you, there's something. There's a reason God allowed. Do you know God could put you in a bubble? Do you ever think, that's what I need, a bubble? It seems like everything bad happens. Amen. Amen. He could put you in a bubble, but you'd never be what you could be for Him in a bubble. If you're in a bubble, you couldn't serve God. You couldn't do anything for God. You couldn't grow the way God wants you to grow. Amen. Yeah, little baby, they start crying all of a sudden, and you check the diaper. It's okay. You know they've been fed. They don't have any gas in their stomach. You know everything's all right, and then you notice their gums are all red, and there's a little white spot starting to show itself. They're cutting their teeth, and you say, "Aw, poor little baby, that's so sad." The baby, screaming because they're cutting teeth. But you're, what's the option? Amen? You know, they're going to be happy they have that teeth. I mean, tonight we're giving out some candy after the coloring time. And, you know, kids are going to be thrilled they have those teeth. Eat some of that gummy worm stuff and all that. I don't know what all there is. Huh? See, we need it. We don't like the bitter, but we need the bitter. We don't like the rocky road, but we have to travel that rocky road because we're going somewhere. Amen? You going anywhere? Yeah. Amen. It's like Brenda and I. We were just married, went on our honeymoon down to the Smoky Mountains, and somewhere along the way, I got on the phone, called Dad. That was before cell phones, and Dad said, "Oh, by the way, you've been laid off from your job." I mean, it's like, what? Wow, it's a bitter time. Boy, we needed that though. God had a lot to teach. It was a bitter time, and yet. It gave me time so I could volunteer to serve God, so I could be on the back of a bus, so I could be with a bunch of teen boys going to a basketball game, and I could be quiet where God could call me to preach. And it all goes back to being laid off. I could have been in the factory working. See, we want to get, and this is the danger of everything. Hezekiah could have been angry at that bitter time. Instead, he's saying, "Oh, listen, it humbled me. I know God is in control." Amen. Stormy seas, but you need to keep sailing. Amen. Because if you keep sailing on the stormy seas, Jesus is going to walk out to you. You're going to see Him like you've never seen Him before. It's not the good times where we really grow a lot. I'm not saying we don't grow, but it's not the greatest grits. It's those tough times. Bitterness, He said, burdened me. It was tough. And the doctor said, "Hezekiah, you're going to die. There's nothing we can do. We have no medicine. We have nothing we can do." And it's like a knife through him. And he prayed and he begged God. And the sorrow of bitterness turned into the joy of blessing. And I can testify to that throughout my life. And there's so many here that would say the same thing. Oh, it was such a tough time, but it turned around so fast. Amen. You had to have the bitter to reveal the blessing. Sometimes God just wants to show you how powerful he is. Oh, how our hearts ache sometimes at the cemetery. How our hearts ache at the doctor's office. How our hearts hurt when we have a financial setback. I don't know how many times people come and they say to me, "Why, preacher? Why is this happening in my life?" I can't tell you why, but I can tell you this. It's coming to pass. God's allowing it so you can go through it. And now you just have to get through it. And you have to trust him with it. Don't forget, God allowed Hezekiah to get sick in the first place. Number one, bitterness burdened him. Number two, love lifted him. Love lifted him. Verse 17, "Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption." Love lifted him from the pit. Love to my soul. You know what? If you don't hear anything else this morning, I want you to get this. God loves you. He loves you. Oh, but I'm going through all this trouble. I've got this problem. God loves you this morning. If you don't get anything else from this today, I want you to understand God's love can lift you like it lifted Hezekiah. Amen. I want everyone who rode a bus to church, I want you to know God loves you. Hey, the shepherds over there in the school, they need to know today that God loves them. The prisoners, Brother George, in jail, they need to know that God in heaven loves them. Senior citizen, you need to know today God loves you. Berean Baptist Church member, you need to know today God loves you. Folks, we all need to understand something. God's love can lift us no matter what the trial, no matter what the problem. I'm talking about Hezekiah has the doctor has told him he's going to die. He shall not live. It's going to happen. There's no doubt about it. There's nothing we can do. You are going to die, buddy. And he got 15 more years. Why? God loves you, Hezekiah. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Amen. That was you. That was me. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. The story is told of Elizabeth Barrett. She was an invalid on her back. And she had been on her back for years, just laid in bed. That's all she did. She couldn't even lift her head, they said. And then one day, Robert Browning came to see her. And on the first visit, when he came to see her, she was able to lift her head. On the second visit that he came to see her, she sat up. And on the third visit that he came to see her, they ran off and eloped. Why? Because there's power in love. There's power in love. Listen to me. We all have bitter times. But let God grab hold of you and put his arms around you and love you. Love can lift you out of the pit that Hezekiah talked about, the pit of corruption, a pit of sin. We know about God's love for salvation, but I'm talking about Christian. Every day, let him lift you out of that pit. Let his love, and you can't deny his love. He loved you so much. He sent his son to die on a cross. There's power in that love. Let him love you today. You say, "I just don't know what I'm going to do." You don't have to know what you're going to do. He knows. Let him love you today. Just give it to Jesus. Get on an altar today during the invitation and just say, "Oh God, would you love me today and let me know of your love?" Because Hezekiah said, "This is what pulled me up out of that pit." I'm telling you, what Hezekiah, God could have said, "You know what? You have 15 more years, Hezekiah." And he could have said, "Why did I have to go through what I just did?" Huh, God? Why'd you just put me through this then if you're going to give me 15 more years? Isn't that how we treat God so many times? But instead, love lifted him. And he let the love of God lift him up out of that pit. Because I got news for you, bitterness and anger and all that is a pit. And it's going nowhere. Bitterness burdened him. Love lifted him. Number three, forgiveness freed him. Forgiveness freed him. Look what he says, and I love how this all ties together. Verse 17, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. Thou hast cast all my sin. Whatever he did during that bitter time, maybe he griped and complained to God, I don't know, but all his sins he recognized, God forgave him. Oh, the blessedness of God's forgiveness. You know, it doesn't matter who you are today, what you've done, where you've been, God will forgive you. Isn't that amazing? Oh, that's just one of the greatest things to me. I think a lot of our health problems are because we don't recognize God's forgiveness. I really mean that. I think a lot of Christians today are having trouble because they just have not grasped God's forgiveness. They guilt trip themselves and everything and take themselves down that path over and over and over. Micah 7:19 says, thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. It says, all their sins. Amen. Forgiveness freed him. It freed him. I've thought about this past week. They had some Alzheimer's things, and there's a big walk today. And I always think about Alzheimer's because my mom died with Alzheimer's disease. And I've often thought there was one good thing about mom's Alzheimer's disease, and that was she forgot my sin. You know, that was one of the blessings about mom having Alzheimer's. Honestly, she would say to me, sometimes we'd sit and talk, she'd say, you were such a good boy. I loved that. I really did. That was such a blessing. You were, you know, and sometimes she'd say, whoever you are, you were such a good boy. I mean, she really did. She forgot that. But she you know, I could still see her. She'd get this cute little smile on her face. You were such a good boy. And I would immediately think of, you know, you don't remember, somehow you've forgotten the time I put the fish in the neighbor's mailbox and it was 95 degrees out. Boy, she didn't forget that day. I told the story about my third grade picture. Told it in our chapel and used the illustration on be prepared. I preached a message on being prepared. And when I was in third grade, we had picture day. And back in the 60s, the old days, remember picture day was special. You know, they wanted you to dress up, look nice for your pictures in elementary school even. And I mean, mom always made a big deal out of our pictures. And mom kept scrapbooks. We have scrapbooks. Remember scrapbooks before you put all your pictures on cameras and everything, or on phones and whatever, but it was such a big deal for mom, and I didn't bring the note home about picture day, because I didn't care about picture day, being an eight-year-old, and sure enough, we had picture day, and I'd kind of forgotten about it, and that day, I did what I did many, many days. I grabbed a t-shirt off the floor of the closet and put it on, and back in those days, and I think boys still do this, I used to pull my collar out, and it was a napkin to wipe off my face. And so that was the shirt I wore for picture day, and mom was absolutely livid. I still have that picture. I made a copy of it. By the way, if you want a copy of that picture, I have several of them left. It's got the little outline on the back. It'll change your life. But anyway, she'd look at me and she'd say, you were such a good boy. And I think, you forgot about my third grade picture. You obviously don't remember that. You obviously don't remember the time that I got in a fight with my sister. It was her fault. And we got to fighting, and we knocked down the Christmas tree, and it had all mom's antique ornaments on it, and they all broke. She wasn't happy that day. But she's just, with her Alzheimer's, she'd just look at me and say, you were such a good boy. And I think, you forgot about the time, 2 o'clock in the morning, we knocked on the neighbor's window. And they called the police. You forgot about that. There's so many things. I don't want to confess too much today. Come on. Yeah. Oh, the carnality of man. But I think, how could you forget? You paddled me about every other day, it seemed like. And you were such a good boy. And I think if, and I want you to think about this. Those of us that are saved today, you've trusted Christ as Savior. If you look at God today and you say, God, what do you think of me? He'd say, you've been such a good boy. Really? He'd say, yeah, I don't remember anything bad you've done. Amen. That's what Hezekiah's talking about. He say, thou hast, he's cast all my sins behind his back. He doesn't see them. He doesn't remember them. He'll never talk about them. It's gone. That's if you're saved today. God said, you know, you've been a good boy. I don't see any of your sin. It's gone. Praise God. Come now, therefore, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And he says, that's how I see you, my son. That's how I see you. Hezekiah said, forgiveness freed me. It freed me. Oh, today, listen, you're going through a trial. You have some bitterness in your life. Understand, it's not all bad. Because like Hezekiah, bitterness burdened him, but love lifted him and forgiveness freed him. And then the last thing, number four, praise preserved him. I'm going to tell you what will change your life today. Several people, my wife was gone for about a week and a half, and I had several people, they said, you're sure a grouch. I don't ever think I'm a grouch. I think just because I'm not bubbly, well, I don't know if I've ever been. I used to be bubbly when I weighed more. But I'm really trying. But the truth of the matter is, you know, David especially, Dave says, Dad, you're just, you know, Angela and I were talking, you're grouchy. So what you say, what did you do about it? Well, I kind of laughed about it at first, but I thought, well, maybe I'm coming across. What do you do? Okay, here's what you do right here. Verse 18, for the grave cannot praise thee, death cannot celebrate thee. They that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth. The living, he shall praise thee. And honestly, if you just use a little common sense, what he's saying is, when you're dead, you don't say anything. When they close the casket, oh, if we do start hearing things, we're all somewhat startled. I could tell you about Brenda's dad and what they put in the casket, but I won't right now. But if you ask me later, I'll tell you. Maybe chapel. You'll love the story. But anyway, we don't want to hear things come from closed caskets. Amen. But the fact of the matter is, down in the grave, you go to the cemetery, it's quiet. If it's not quiet, you leave. Because you don't want to hear things in the cemetery, for sure. And that's what he's saying. The grave cannot praise God. Do you understand that? Death cannot celebrate God. They that go down into the pit, they can't hope for thy truth. Who is it that can praise God? The living. He says it twice here, verse 19. The living! He shall praise thee. And what's he say? As I do this day. Huh? What's he say? He say, because I'm still alive. That's how I praise you, God. I'm still alive. Oh, you say, but my favorite tree branch fell last night. And I'm just so upset. You're alive. Amen. Oh, but 20 years ago, I was diagnosed with such and such disease, and they said I was going to die. And oh, I just can't believe it was such a trial in my life, and it was so hard, and I just, oh my. And all these years, instead of praising God that you're alive, you've been whining and complaining about what happened. There's so many folks holding on to some trial, some problem, some thing that took place in the past, and you've held on to it all these years. How about this? How about saying, you know what? I'm alive. God's good to me. Praise preserved him. Dave says, you know, Dad, Angela, and I were talking. You're kind of grouchy. God, I don't want to be grouchy. You're such a good God. you're so good to me. I miss my wife. A lot of people wouldn't miss their wives. I'm so glad you gave me a wife that's worth missing. You're so good to me, God. Praise God. I think that'll take care of any grouchiness. Amen. Hey, which are you today? Are you living or are you dead? It says the living, he shall praise thee. Which are you today? He said this. He said, the Father, he said, as the living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. The Father to the children shall make known thy truth. We're going to sing all the days. Verse 20, the Lord was ready to save me, therefore we will sing my songs to the stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord. All the days. We're just going to keep singing. Doctor said, your disease is incurable. Hezekiah knew God did it. Hezekiah knew God did it. You know, you're alive today. You're still alive today. You're alive today, and you're the living, and you can praise God. Why don't you praise God? He knew God did it. He knew that, yes, he had a bitter time, but he knew love lifted him. He knew forgiveness freed him, and now he knows praise will preserve him as long as he's praising. Amen. You're here today, and you're not saved. God will save you. He will save you because he loves you. He wants to save you. There's so much to praise him for. That's what keeps me going. What about all the bad? You know what? It can always be worse. That's what you better say. It can always be worse. I don't care what it is. Yeah, you know, oh, those poor teenagers had that activity and that big storm came through. Well, I don't think any of them got any tree branches hitting them in the head. They were all in the gym, probably oblivious to the whole thing. Oh, you know, you had a cookout and a big storm hit. Well, you know what? The grill closed and then the storm hit. Are you listening? Oh, how many times has God taken care of? And we don't want to praise him today. We don't want to praise him today. Amen. It could always be worse. Bitterness burdened him. Love lifted him. Forgiveness freed him. Praise preserved him. Let's bow our heads, please. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed.